Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, folks, and welcome once again to Madam Perry's Salon, the podcast where fascinating people meet. I am your hostess, your groove mistress, and spiritual advisor, Madam Perry. But you can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I'm just happy to have you here. You don't have to call me Madam. I'm just happy to have you here and be here too. And for anyone that's new, because we have a new guest, then you bring in a new audience, more people. So just to let you know, one of my first guests, in fact, this was back when I had a blog, I think, but one of my first guests after the show went and announced to people, I've been to Madam Perry's Salon. It looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So that is why we ask guests if they're comfortable to get a big cushion to sit on and so forth, because we are a cultural salon in cyberspace, floating in a genie bottle. And we've had so much fun. And thanks to everyone who's followed. If you're listening live tonight, which is November 8th, 2021, if you're listening live tonight, then and you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can. There's a little rectangular box up there. It's hot pink. Being in the South, I call it azalea colored, with the white letters that says follow. If you want to, you can click that and follow, or whatever podcast platform or app you listen on to your podcast. And thank you for all the nice reviews. I really do appreciate that, and the follows and sharing this with people. Thank you, because that makes it even more fun for my guest and me. So that's what. And now lately, we've had some rollicking times here over the years, and I can say this, never had a guest that I wouldn't want back. However, the last week, we'll see, a couple of weeks. One day we had, 2 weeks ago, we had Breanne Davis. She's a filmmaker, producer, author, actor, and her new book is called The Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict. And this lady lived it. And she's telling the story, but she's changed a lot of things like names because she doesn't want to get sued. And even on my small bit of showbiz, I've signed enough NDAs to be nervous. So got to be careful what you say and whose name you use. But anyway, read her book. It's just magnificent. She also has a podcast called Secret Life where people who are going through rehab for different things come call in and talk to her. And then we had last week, Adelia Decker. Now, she was half of the host team on a podcast called Wolf. It's called We're Our OnlyFans, because they've both been on OnlyFans and different things. And now she has a fresh podcast called That's Offensive. But Adelia was just so much fun. And my client, Jennifer Irwin, co-hosted both of those shows. Most of you know I'm an entertainment publicist, but right now I've got one client that's not entertainment. It's more of the aerospace industry, technical. But Jennifer Irwin is a client that I represented her 4 years ago with her first book, Address the Color of the Sky. Now she's got a fabulous new book called Address the Color of the Moon, and it is magnificent. So you check that. But anyway, Jennifer co-hosted with me because her book has to do with women going to rehab for sex addiction. And because both of the shows were about sex addiction, rehab, sex workers, or whatever, it just kind of felt like it fell into place. But anyway, and let's see. Oh, and next week, I've got Doug and Ann Bremner. Now, Doug's been on a few times. He's a psychologist at Emory University here in Atlanta, Georgia. He's written several books like Before You Take That Pill, and he's a movie called, I think it's called Inheritance, Italian Style. And his sister is going to be with them because they co-wrote a book together called Justice in the Time of Public Opinion. His sister is Ann Bremner, who you probably know as a legal analyst on CNN, MSNBC, and several other shows. So that's going to be fun. Also, Joe Lansdale, and The only thing I got to admit, when somebody suggested him to me, the only thing I knew of he had written was the film Bubba Hotep. That's got Bruce Campbell and Morgan Freeman, and is a wacky, wild, crazy movie. But anyway, that's coming up. Now you know what's been happening. You know what's coming up. But tonight, my hep cats and hep kittens, you're going to love this. I've got a guest who I don't know how she has the time to do it, but I need to learn a lot from her. She's an author. She co-hosts a radio show on LA Talk Radio. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead. She's a screenwriter. I'm going to let her just come on in and tell us all about it. She's got a book called A Letter to God, but she's already got a second book to a literary agent and a follow-up to this coming soon. But let me please introduce for her first time, and hopefully not her last time, hopefully she'll come back, to the Genie Bottle, Chyna Meyer. Chyna, welcome to Madam Perry's.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Jennifer.
Hi. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Myers. M-E-Y-E-R-S.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Myers. All right. Just got to be sure. And I am so happy to have you here. Are you comfortable? Have you got a nice cushy pillow to sit on here in the Genie Bottle?
I do. I am sitting on my couch. This is great. It couldn't be any better.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. Well, I am delighted to have you here after a talk to your manager, Jennifer DeVoe, whom you co-host was it Jenny's Real Talk on the Block on LA Talk Radio?
Yeah, great show. We do a lot of entertainers and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, I started listening to it last week, and I was trying to find, you know, I'm always searching out things for my clients to be on, and I always listen because, you know, it may not be the right show, but it still might be fun. So I always listen, and I was listening to you guys, and it was like, I felt like I was hanging out with friends. Like, I was at my desk doing work, but I had my friends out in the next room talking. It was so much fun. You guys have such a great energy and are so hilarious. But you have a lot of good information, too. So how long have you been doing that?
Almost a year, yeah. And let me tell you something. It doesn't seem like a job. It's, like you said, it is so much fun. Like, we get to laugh, and we just have a really good time. And we get a lot of great guests. Some are famous, some aren't famous, which is cool too, you know, and, you know, it is just a really, really great time. Lots of fun.
And how did you two meet?
We actually met on LinkedIn, and, one day, I seen her profile and I thought, you know what, let me give this girl a message and see if she's looking for a co-host. I am the type of person, and I'm here to tell you and your guest, I go after what I want. I don't sit by and go, I wonder if she needs me to be her co-host. No. I messaged her, and I went for it. And I almost fell over when she said, sure. Yeah, I had no idea she would say yes, but, you know, that's the type of person I am. I've learned in my life that you go after what you want. You have to. Otherwise, you don't get what you want, and that's just plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so she hired me, and I looked at it this way. It's like talking to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking to a friend, you don't try to pretend you're somebody else. You're just yourself, and you talk casually to a friend. And that's how I never did a radio show before, but that's how I approached it, and it seems okay, you know?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Like I said, it was like this. There's a couple of shows I listen to because they make me feel like I'm not alone when I'm working alone. I feel like I'm hanging out at a friend's house. A friend is very entertaining.
Right.
Well, and fun, and will keep my and keeps my energy upbeat. Oh, I appreciate it. And yeah, you're right. If you don't ask, you don't get. You know, I was taught growing up, it's like the only way to make sure I did not get something was to let somebody know I wanted it. Never would get it. But I've learned. You know, I'm a late bloomer. I've learned things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
But I listened to it. I just had to while I was listening. Go ahead and same thing on LinkedIn. Checked her. Connected with Jennifer DeVoe, and Yeah, and I hope you feel the same way. I want all my guests to feel comfortable like they're talking to a friend, so I hope you feel the same way here as well.
I do. I do. I feel very relaxed.
Oh, good. And also, let's see, I want to let people know, too, if you are listening live tonight, in a few minutes, I think we're going to open up the phones in about 10 or 15 minutes, so if anyone wants to talk to Chyna Myers, have any questions to her about her book, because we're going to start talking about her book, A Letter to God, first, and other things. And then you can certainly call in. The number is 646-716-9922. It's a toll-free call in the continental U.S., Blog Talk Radio assures me. And if you're in a place where you know, Chyna, we all know about this. If you're at a place where you're at a job where you can't make a phone call, you know, you can always text me on Facebook, either through Madam Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry, whatever your question or comment is for a guest, and I am happy to share it. And so let's get talking about your book, A Letter to God. And I understand it's based on your life.
Yeah. I wrote the book because I thought, you know what, there's probably a lot of people struggling with different things out there. I mean, I know my life wasn't easy. Some people's lives aren't easy. Some people's lives are good. But it was rough there for a little while. But guess what? I don't mean to sound like a holy roller. I have to say, God helped me through it. He really did. And when people don't believe in prayers, I'm here to tell you, they work.
Yeah.
I mean, literally. There were times that if you read the book, you'll see I prayed a lot. But there were times where I prayed and seconds later my prayers were answered. And I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. I am telling the honest to goodness truth. Seconds later, my prayers were answered. And that's even till this day, really. And I tell people all the time, pray for what you want. You will receive what you want. Now, it's not always what you want. It's mostly what you need, okay? Because I'd like to win $1 million, and I haven't got that yet. You know, but you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
what you need, because what you want, let's clarify this. What you want might not be what you need. You understand what I'm saying? You feel me?
I do.
So, you know, pray, because if it's what you need, I know in my heart, I'm living proof that you'll get it, you know? And I had faith my whole life. I used to go to church, and when I went to church, my mother took me, or my aunt was a big church goer, but she was Baptist. My mom was Catholic. And my mom didn't go that often, but my aunt went every Sunday, sometimes 3-4 times a week she went. And this sounds crazy, but sometime if we were misbehaving, my sisters and I, my mother would send us with our aunt to church. And that was like torture, because Baptist church, I don't know if you know, that's like an all-day affair. Like, we're sitting there going, dear God, please help. Well, he didn't answer those prayers.
Right there, didn't you? Yeah. I'm laughing because I grew up Methodist. And even though
Methodist,
I don't know if you know this, but the Methodist, they got their name. It was a joke. Everybody kept, because they had these things about discipline. They were all about self-discipline. John and Charles Wesley, the two brothers that founded his faith, but they were so self-disciplined that people would make jokes about them and call them, oh, look, those Methodists, they got a method for everything they got to do. So the name kind of kept hanging on. So, we became Methodists. That's what they began calling themselves, because everybody else did. And then I remembered, so we're supposed to be very big on self-discipline, but I think most of the time we act like, as long as we got a covered dish, we're going to get into heaven, right? But
yeah,
I remember my uncle, when he married a woman that's Baptist, he goes, man, they never quit. They go all day. And then I'd forgotten about that until I saw on the Bernie Mac show when he goes to church.
Oh, Yeah, it's crazy. Like all day, and we were like, and they feed you too. Like you eat there too. It's crazy.
Oh well,
I mean,
that's
I don't
good.
Know how it is now, but that's how it was when I was a little girl. But yeah, like they ate there. It was an all day thing. In fact, I was with a guy one time. Took him to my niece's church. She was getting, I think she was getting baptized or something. It was a big ordeal. And, oh, this church, it was in Baltimore, and people, there were so many people there. And, oh, it was beautiful. The service was beautiful. But it just went on and on and on. And the guy I was with was like, is this over soon? Is this? He kept asking, is this going to be over soon?
But that's anybody's guess. But I'll tell you, it won't be soon.
Yeah, no.
All right. But, so back to your story. So you would get You would get sent to church.
We would get sent to church, and when I was in church, I would cry, you know. And I never knew until I got older why I was crying. Like people would say, "Why is she crying?" I mean, the tears would be pouring down my face. And I realized when I got older, it's because I love God so much. Now, when I say that, people think, oh, my God, she's perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I'm a human being. You know, I fail God sometime. But I just love him so much. And I wanna do the things that Christ, you know, taught us to do and wants us to do, you know, for God. And I try to do that, but, yeah, sometimes I fail because I'm not perfect, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll tell somebody off at the bank or something, you know. I am not perfect, but, you know, I'm an African-American woman, so I am tough. But, it's like I said, my life was kind of hard growing up. And my whole thing for writing the book is I don't want people to be victims, you know. If you get that victim mentality, you become stuck, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're stuck, you can't go forward in your life, you know. And I'm here to tell people, God wants you to go forward. Yes, things are going to happen. You know, you're going to fail. You know, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be, you know, you're going to have sorrow. But you have to learn to give it to him, you know, give it to God. Mm-hmm. You know, there's times in my life where I'm thinking, oh, my God, I can't take much more stress. And then I think, I'm just going to give it to God. And in that second, My worries are gone. My sorrow is gone. My anger is gone. I mean, I used to, like I said, I'm African American, and I'm a tough woman. Like, you could punch me in the face, and I'll get up and rip your head off, you know? But I learned, you know what I'm saying? But I learned, you know, to control that anger. I was angry about a lot of things. But I realized I have and have more blessings than I ever had sorrow and pain, ever, you know. And you have to think, oh, okay, well, is she wealthy? You know, how much blessings does she have? Well, I have my sight, you know. Mm-hmm. The things that we take for granted, you know. I have my sight. I'm healthy. I'm 58 years old. I'm not on any medication. I'm very healthy. You know, I work at that. But it's because of the grace of God, whether I worked on it or not. You have to believe that. You have to know that. You're not in this by yourself. You have to answer to God. You have to look to God. You have to call on God. These are the things you have to do. And does that mean you have to be a holy roller? No. I hardly go to church. I'm going to church now. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's not a good thing. But with COVID and everything, and to be perfectly honest, I haven't really found a church that I really like and can connect to. I've been to churches. I'm not judging them. I'm saying there's a lot of churches out there that think that only perfect people should be there. And that's not the way churches are supposed to be, in my humble opinion, you know. So,
you
yeah,
know,
I go to church, my daughter, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It just made me think, and I thought this while ago when you were talking about it. You said I'm not perfect, all this. But you know, I remember once it was either Dear Abby or Dear Anne. You know, they were sisters. But one of them, I remember years ago, and the advice they gave in an answer, and this was one of their most famous responses to people talking about how some people in their church they thought didn't act as they thought they should.
Yeah.
And even though Dear Abby and Dear Anne, they were Jewish. Yeah, and they said, well, isn't it supposed to – I think it's really more of a – or something like, what do you think it is, a museum for saints or a hospital for sinners?
Exactly. You know, I've been to churches, and then you see the people out in public, and they won't even say hi to you. Really? I just seen you. I was just worshiping with you, you know, half an hour ago, and now you don't know me? Okay. I've been to churches where – I go, and not saying that the people are racist, but I'm in a pew by myself and everybody was behind me and I'm thinking, okay, somebody could sit near me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very odd. And if you ever seen the movie, Machine Gun Preacher, he opened up his own church because he was sick of all of them. You know what I mean? And because it seems like churches today, they just want perfect people. I don't know. That I could be wrong, but that's the vibe I get, you know. And then there's churches that are very, you know, dead. You know, I'm falling asleep while he's giving his message. That ain't good, you know. I know. My husband's like, it's not about that. Okay, yeah, it's not about that, but I want to feel something.
Of course you do. It's like I told I know. It's like I don't want to have to just get all that my good feeling preaching from watching those good-looking guys on Grantchester. Have you ever seen that show?
No, I got to check it out.
My husband, because it comes on PBS. It's a British show, and I think it takes place around the 1940s. I remember my husband saying, "Oh, Grantchester comes on." Do you watch that? I said, Grantchester. Is that the one about the priest in the 40s? And one of them is like real tall and real cut, and he's usually out working in the garden behind the church with his shirt off. Yeah, never heard of it. So, and the other preacher has a motorcycle. He comes in a leather jacket. Never heard of it. He looks at me like, mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Crazy. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just the way it is. And it might be only me, but I don't know. That's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it matters. You know, people want to feel like they're not being judged. Look, I'm a minister with Universal Life Church. I did a wedding Sunday. Well, that was yesterday, 2 weeks ago. And I never want people to feel nervous around me, you know.
Right,
Yeah, never. In fact, the other one, 2 weeks ago, after I left the wedding, I stopped by TJ Maxx on the way home and still had on the whole garb. And the girl says, okay, when she bagged up my stuff, she says, okay, well, have a nice day. And she looked at me, she goes, or I should say, have a blessed day. Well, aren't they all? I thought she was so adorable,
right.
You know. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I wanted to be a nun when I was little, and I went to that's in my second volume book, A Letter to God, but there are 7 volumes. One got published. I'm working on volume 2, just for your listeners who don't know. But I wanted to be a nun, so I went to a priest and I asked him, you know, what would I have to do, you know? And I was just one of those kids that, you know, very wise and very beyond my years. And one day I just got up and I said, you know what? I want to give back to God. I want to help God, you know. And I said this to myself. And I put my coat on and I went around the corner and I went to this Catholic church that was around the corner. And I asked him, you know, what would I have to do? and he told me that I would have to give myself to God. And I said, okay, well, what does that mean, you know, give myself to God? And he said, well, you know, you couldn't get married. You couldn't have children. You would belong to God. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. Here, I wanted like 15 children. I wanted a white picket fence. I wanted, you know, to bake cookies. And I'm thinking, oh, well, sorry, God, but I can't do that. You know, so that was the end of that dream. But the fact still remains, and like the priest said, you can still love God and do right by him and you know, receive his joy and his blessings and his mercy and his grace, and that would be your reward, you know, in this world or the next, you know. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try my best to do that, you know. Now, have I failed again? Yes. You know, I'm not perfect, but I do try to help people when I can help people and, you know, do right by people. And, you know, I think the choices you make really control what your life is going to be, you know. I'm a firm believer in that. So I was with a guy, and he said to me one time, I was with him for a few years, but he said, well, being with you is like being with a nun.
Oh, no.
Wow. That's, you know, I don't know what he meant by that, because I'm pretty fun, you know. It's like, I don't know what he meant by that, but in actuality, I really do, you know, because if someone did him a favor, you know, I'd want to write them a letter and thank them. And, you know, it's not that I'm a prude or anything, but I would want to write them a letter and thank them, or, you know, maybe send them some flowers or bake them a cake or something. And he'd be like, no, I'm not doing that, you know. So, and I'm not saying he's wrong or right. What I'm saying is that I want to live my life a certain way, you know, and because I'm the only one that is to blame if I don't do the right thing, you know. My mother wasn't a good mother, still took care of her. What type of person would I be if I hadn't, you know? My father wasn't a good father, but I tried to help him whenever I could. You know, because I always want to do the right thing. Because, listen, we all have a story, you know, and the question is, how do you want your story to be? Now, again, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to make mistakes, you know. That's going to happen. You know why? Because I'm human, you know. Our nature is to make mistakes and fail and, you know, sin, you know, that is our nature. And I don't care if you're a priest or you're a nun or you're the holiest person on the planet. It's our nature. But what I can control, we can't control that, but what I can control are my actions, you know. So I try to do that, you know, on a daily basis. And I ask God for his help, because it's not easy, you know. It's not easy.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm going to stop just a moment. I need to play a little something, and
okay,
a little spot. And did I hear dogs earlier at your house?
Yes, my little dog, when she's sleeping and someone walks in the room, she goes nuts. And then it's almost like she was woken up, but yeah, she's gone.
Usually it's my dogs that are fussing out. But anyway, I got a couple of messages, and when you listen to this, of course you can also get up and get some water. But when you listen to this, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about right here.
I mean, the world has gone crazy, right? I mean, this whole pandemic, I don't even know if I'm coming or going anymore. You know what I mean? But the one thing during the pandemic that I found out, right, that was a good thing was the Madame Perry Salon. I mean, this podcast, right, when you hear her laughing, all you want to do is laugh. Right? When her dog's barking in the background and she's talking to the duck, I'm like, she's going to an interview, and I'm like, this podcast is the best podcast I've ever heard before. You know what I mean?
Well, that was very sweet of him to say that. So now you see I've got a reputation for that. One more. That's what I thought. Wait, her dog's barking and not mine? Now I feel like I need to one up. Okay. First, I also want to say, we've got a sponsor this week, Living for the Cinnamon. I love to promote other radio shows and podcasts because there's room enough for all of us. You can listen to all of us anytime. I listen to podcasts when I'm driving, when I'm cleaning the house, whatever. And this one's called Living for the Cinema. Living for the Cinema, the host is Jeff Gershon. He describes himself on the website as a cinema enthusiast of all genres, passionate about discussing movies, directors, actors, composers, soundtracks, and cinematography from current movies and movies from the last 50 years. So it's like the little short movie reviews. They're all, you know, usually about 10, 15 minutes, little nice little bite-sized chunks. And I don't know about you, China, but I like some new movies, but there's a lot of old movies I like too. And like some of his were.
I love old movies.
Yeah, you know, they don't expire. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. And on looking at the list of his recent ones, because these drop, he said, when did they drop? I think on Tuesday and Fridays. There's, of course, Dune and some of the new things, but also Ruthless People that had Danny DeVito and Bette Midler. And then the new.
I'm not sure if I've seen that one.
Oh, it's good. Good. And Danny DeVito. And Bette Midler, they're going to be funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he's got, Halloween Kills, No Time to Die. But then he's also got some of the old, Swingers, the 1996 Swingers, From Russia with Love, 1963, Legally Blonde from 2001. So, yes, I will be sharing the link. Oh, you like that movie?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I love it. You can't think of Bend and Snap without that, you know?
Yeah. Well, Abbott and Costello was my favorite. Oh, I used to love them. Abbott and Costello.
Gosh, they are a riot.
Oh, my goodness.
What's
and
your favorite
I love Abbott and Costello?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite Abbott and Costello movie?
I kind of really liked the Halloween ones when they were like, they were ghosts and, they were
the mummy.
Yeah.
They're great. So I'll be sharing the link for livingforthecinema.com on all of my social media so you can check that out and listen to it. And he does a great show. Okay. Now back to China Myers. I'm so thrilled to have you here. And Madame Perry Salon. So can you just give us, before we get on to your next two book projects, can you just give us a little thumbnail description of what A Letter to God is about for people?
Okay. It takes me from when I was 10 years old until I'm 18 years old. Now, it starts out, I'm 10 years old, and my mother comes to me, and she tells me that I'm going to Africa. And I'm like, wait, what? And she said, yes, you're going to go to Africa with your older sister because she won a scholarship to study abroad. And I don't want her to go by herself. And I'm going to need you to go with her. Can you do that for me? And I said, of course, I can. I can do that. Now, my mother knew I was mature. And, pretty good kid. I mean, I cursed a lot, so.
But, so much more fun when you're a kid.
I know. For the most part, I was pretty good. So So I was shocked, but I said, you know, okay. And we got on a plane and we went, and we ended up, she was actually going to be studying archaeology. And that is digging up bones and all kinds of stuff like that. So we were in Egypt. That's where her school was. And at the time, we were staying in a hotel, I guess until she got on campus. I really am not sure about that, but I know we were staying in a hotel. And we were seeing the sights and everything. And I had heard later that she didn't like the archaeology because it was a lot of digging up bones and dust, and they have sandstorms there. So I heard that she didn't like it. So she changed her major, and she changed her major, and that brought her to Zambia, Africa. So we went to Zambia, and she changed her major to agriculture. So I was enrolled in school, and she was in school, and we were living on campus. Well, she liked it, and we were really close because she was an older sister, so we didn't really know each other that much. Like, she knew me, but I didn't know her that much because she was already kind of out of the house. She was on campus. She was going to college, and so I didn't really know her that well. I knew her. I didn't know her that well. So, you know, when we went, you know, we got close, and yeah, I was doing her hair, and I was one of those kids that, you know, did like beautiful hairstyles and, you know, put on makeup for her and all kinds of stuff. And we got really, really close. Well, then she got friends, you know, and it was like, she wasn't coming home as much, you know, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I was starting to get lonely. Excuse me. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is not fun anymore. So I went to write a letter saying that I'm not having a good time anymore. And again, I was one of those kids that was very blunt in how I talked. I didn't sugarcoat things. And everybody knew that about me. And I, you know, I was the type of person where, you know, if I didn't like something, I was like, this sucks. I don't want to be here anymore. You know, and basically that's what I said. So she said, don't write a letter like that. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, do not write. And she got really furious. And I, you know, because I told the whole story. I was like, you know, this sucks. And, you know, she's going out with her friends. And, you know, she's leaving me with people. And, you know, I told the whole deal, you know. And she wanted, I guess, to keep it on the down low. So I, you know, she told me that, you know, not to say that. And she literally ripped the letter up. Well, I said, well, what do you want me to say? And she said, say that you're having a good time, and that's it. So I said, things are great. Love everybody. Bye. That was my letter.
Yeah, so that wouldn't alarm anyone.
Yeah, exactly. People read this letter. They were like, what?
That sounds like a hostage message. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so they were like, oh, no, this doesn't sound like her. My mother was like, really? And my sisters were like, no, that's not her. And so my one sister, who was older, she actually went to her boss, and she told her boss, because her and her boss were close, she told her boss what was happening. And my sister and my mother were trying to find me, but they couldn't. We weren't on campus. And my sister was nowhere to be found, and neither was I, because I was at a friend's house that my sister left me with, and my sister went with friends to a whole nother island, a whole nother, not island, but country, a whole nother country. And she left me with this friend. And so my sister, you know, started putting a search out. She called the police, and my mother, you know, was trying to find me as well, and she was calling the campus. And so I was on my knees praying, and You know, I said, please, God, you know, I want to go home. I said, I won't ask you anything for a long time. I just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting on the floor and I'm crying. And all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. And it was the police and the UN. And they took me home from there.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. So there was one of my prayers that were answered immediately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I went home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. And so I went home. And then a year later, me and my sisters were playing around and I woke up in a mental institution. And
whoa.
You'll have to read the book to find out what happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
all right.
I had no idea how I got there. I had no idea.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was literally one thing after another. And people tell me it's almost like the story of Job. Did you ever read the book of Job?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what people tell me, and I think it's not the same story, but it's almost like I was constantly being tested, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was horrific, and it was one thing after another, but really, I got through it all because every time I asked God to help me, you know, and He did. I would feel better about things, or it wasn't that, you know, I pretended they never happened. It was that He gave me a peace. He gave me a feeling that none of this matters. You know, this life, these things, you know, none of it matters, and that everything is going to be okay. And when I felt that, I was, no matter what I was going through, I immediately felt peace, you know. So that is to your listeners, you know. Mm. If you're going through something right now, don't give up, you know. Mm. Talk to God, trust God, believe in Him. Mm. Follow Jesus, because that's what He wants you to do. He wants you. He says it over 300 times in the Bible. It's said over 300 times in the Bible, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, I think you're not affected by things. You're going to feel pain. You're going to feel sorrow. But it doesn't last, because he'll take it away from you. If you give it to Him, you have to give it to Him. You have to pray. You have mm-hmm. to believe, you know. And for people who don't believe, then proven, you know, scientists, you know, theologians, it's been proven that God and Jesus exist. You know, it's been proven. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that you're doing, you know, on just an imaginary thought, you know, or feeling. It's something that's real, you know. Quick story. I remember one time this guy I knew, you know, he said he believed, but saying you believe and really believing, you have to know that that's two different things, you know, because if there's a snowstorm and I fall down and break my arm, I'm not going to blame God for that broken arm. You know what I mean? That's the book of Job. When you read the book of Job, no matter what happened to him, he never cursed God, you know? And that's me. I've never cursed God. I don't blame God for things that have happened to me. They happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, you know, he didn't really believe. He said he did, but I don't think he really did, because you have to put your trust in Him. So one time he had, you know, a business, this guy I'm talking about, and he said, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to lose everything if I don't sell this stuff that he was selling. you know, he had, you know, a flower shop, and he said, if I don't sell these flowers, you know, I spent thousands of dollars. Yeah. And they're talking about there's going to be a snowstorm, and once there's a snowstorm, people don't come out anymore. It was Valentine's Day. And I said, do you believe in God? And he said, yeah. He goes, you know I do. I said, okay. Well, ask God, okay, literally, not to let it snow until you put your key in your door to lock it and close it for the end of the night. He said, oh, you're so crazy. Oh, my God. He goes, okay. And I said, well, you can do it or you don't have to do it. That's up to you. But I know if I had thousands of dollars that I needed people to come and buy my stuff, I would ask that question. Please don't let it snow, God, until after I close. Okay. Yeah. He did it. And my hand, to goodness, the first drop of snow started the minute he put his key in the door.
Girl,
to lock
it.
I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. But you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to trust him. You have to obey him, because by living your life the way you should live your life, and everybody knows how they should live their life, you should not give into the flesh. You know, there's things you know you shouldn't be doing. Come on.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know right from wrong. How do we know that? Because we know right from wrong. Just like we know Jesus gave his life for our sins. We know this, okay? So if you live your life a certain way, honoring God, and you will be blessed for that. You will be blessed for that. You know, so
yeah.
Again, there's no way we can be perfect. It's not in our DNA. But we can try, and that's what God loved about Job. He loved that he tried, you know? He loved that no matter what, he never cursed him. And Job lost a lot. Job went through a lot.
Yeah, friend, that's the second time I've heard somebody talk about Job today. And one was my friend Dave Nassani. He's called the caregiver's caregiver. Because he talks, because he became a caregiver to his wife after she had a stroke, and he speaks all over the world. And this was something I saw today, popped up on YouTube, and it's like, Dave Nassani speaks to the London Stock Exchange. So I clicked on it. Apparently, it was just a couple of days ago, and he starts talking about Job. And I thought, okay. And then I had to go walk a dog. But I thought, yeah, sometimes these messages are coming around the world for a reason, as you well know. Girl, I feel like you're getting ready to pass the plate and have me stand up and sing now. But I don't want to give everything away. So, because we only have a little bit of time, and I'm so happy to have you, but I also want to make sure that while we got a couple of minutes left, that you tell people about the next two projects you have going on. I think one book is finished and has an agent going, selling it.
Yes. Well, A Letter to God, Volume 1, published. You can find that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. But Amazon, you could find it in ebook and paperback, because sometimes people are old school and they want to hold a book. You know what I'm talking about? You can get a paperback book at Amazon and also ebook. But you can also go to LinkedIn, and I'm under China, Just China, and my website is there. You can write me a letter if you want, communicate and tell me what you think of the book. Mm-hmm. And also, my other book is going to be coming out soon, because I am a self-taught nutritionist. I've been doing it for 20-some years, 23 to be exact. I had some digestive issues, and I started to learn about what was happening with my body, and I started to do all kinds of research and learned that, you know, your immune system is 70% of your digestive system, and I learned all these things. And so I wrote a book about natural COVID-19 prevention, okay? Now, there's so much informative information in there. I have a literary agent, and it's going to be published soon, but I will definitely share that on LinkedIn and on my website when that gets published. But it's called Natural COVID-19 Prevention. Now, there's all kinds of little things you can do. Like, for example, if you are around someone who smokes, you might be allergic to smoke. So your nose might be running, and you might think you have the flu or a cold, but you actually don't. You're allergic to this smoke, and there's things you can do to get rid of that naturally. Rub some Vicks on your chest, put a hot compress on your forehead. Also, I was a licensed massage therapist. There are pressure points in your feet that control major organs and body parts. So if you're stepping on a cold floor, you are going to feel like you have a cold. Your nose is going to be running. Your sinuses, you're going to feel like you're discombobulated. You're going to have a headache from your sinuses swelling up because your feet touch that cold floor. So, again, you don't have the flu. You don't have a cold. Your pressure points were affected by you walking on that cold floor. So you just put a hot compress, a little Vicks on your chest, end of story. But there's lots of stuff, you know. There's people out there that have GERD, you know, which is a gastrointestinal, acid. And that acid starts in your stomach and intestines. And then what happens is it leaks into your bloodstream. And then you get, you know, all kinds of autoimmune diseases. People are like, why do I have this autoimmune disease? You know, well, it's because you have all this acid pumping in your body. And what happens with autoimmune diseases is you get one, and then you get another one, and then you get another one, and then you get another one. But I don't want to tell the whole book, but there's a lot of helpful information on it, and I will post when that's going to be, you know, published.
All right. Okay. And so I'm going to make sure that I share the social media for website and social media handles for China Myers on all of my social media, not only for Madame Perry's Salon, but also on my personal social media so that you can get these books. You can find out more about China. And also tomorrow night, Jennifer DeVoe Muse is supposed to be here on the show. And
oh, my goodness.
I know. Am I the luckiest girl or what?
She is so awesome.
Oh, she is. The thing is, yeah, and the same thing is, like, as soon as I text her while I was listening and on LinkedIn, I started talking to her about, the bands that she was talking about, you know, and all, like, Granny's Got a Gun or whatever. like I had known her forever. I know that's how you felt. You know,
I know.
The right kind of people.
That's
you just sort of click in. Yeah.
I know. You know, they're just the salt of the earth, those type of people, you know, because they're real. And there are no, can I say it? There's no bullshit, you know? There's just real people. I love real people, you know? I don't care what color you are, what you look like. If you're real, you're my friend because I don't have time for the other stuff, you know? I just don't. Life is too short.
It is. It really is. And so way too short for that. So that is just amazing. And yeah, you know, it's like, you know how hard it is for adults to make friends, especially women, because they never know. What do they want to be friends with me for? Do they not like me? Whatever. But some people like that, like her and like you, just kind of like automatic. And that's just, it's just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just the way it's meant to be. Well, I wish you, and we'll pray for the very best.
I just want to say one more thing.
You got it.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook, Kate, it's K-A-T-E Myers. And you'll see there that I have over 4,000 friends, and I'm probably the only person in the country that have over 4,000 friends, and they're literally all my friends. I'm not kidding you. These people I have had literal connections with. Yeah, so. Yeah.
That is okay. All right. That's what I call a testimony right there. That with my hand up. So
thank you, Jennifer, for having me. I appreciate it.
It has been, I thank Jennifer DeVoe for this too. And thank you so much for coming on here. You will hopefully be back again. You know there's always a place for you in the genie bottle.
Cool.
And then tomorrow night when Jennifer DeVoe is on, feel free to call and say hello to her, too. And I just want to say Let's see. I tell you what I am going
to be on.
Same time as you, right at this time.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Okay, cool.
And so I'm going to close out with a song that I co-wrote and it's on my CD, and it expresses one of my life philosophies. And you know what that is?
Goodbye,
everybody's got to swim. So everybody move into yourself, into your team feathers, go to Tina Meyer's book, A Letter to God.
Well,